Welcome to Red Wings Podcast, where Smashville and Hockey Town collide. And now your hosts, Brett and Ron White and D-Law, Dan Lawless.
Welcome to Red Wings Podcast, episode 86. Social media, Red Wings Podcast on Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and at Red Wings Pod X, or Twitter, some people still call it Twitter, and YouTube. And our email is redwingspodcast@gmail.com. Well, hopefully soon there'll be a beer league minute. I'm hoping.
You're broken.
I'm hoping I'm off IR late May. Mid to late May, June, somewhere around
there. For anyone listening out there, he came running out of the tunnel, and he didn't take his skate guards off, and he broke his elbow.
No, I'm not Marc-Andre. Remember that way back when he...
Stanley Cup Finals with Detroit.
He tripped and fell.
2008.
Ice planted on the ice.
Got a round of applause for his efforts. The Joe loved it.
You moron.
That was one of his moments.
Yeah.
What the heck was that?
The heck was what?
I didn't do the buzzer. Oh, shoot. I hit that by accident. It must
be.
You
did the buzzer.
I don't know how. I must have hit it by accident.
Start it over.
Oh, well. I guess we can roll into some recaps.
I have two to start with.
Two each and
an unfortunate third.
Actually, not. It's not that unfortunate. But anyway, you got home games, Columbus, and I guess we start with Columbus.
The Red Wings came out and they just looked flat. They didn't look good. Turned over the puck early to Werenski. I thought it was going to be another circus show.
I just hope we can win a game.
And they were playing like garbage, like I was saying. Just, again, keeping that pace. They have no cohesion. They weren't playing good. And, you know, they weren't able to get any momentum during the game at all. And it was just a constant battle against a bottom-feeding 23-34 Columbus Blue Jacket team. They did end up battling, and they won a game that they should have won in a fashion that they probably shouldn't have needed to win it in. And again, this is a team that they should have come out and beat with their eyes closed, but they've been struggling. I still have to say that, you know, I want to say it's the coach's fault for not having the team ready, for not having them going, you know, but at some point, the way that they've been playing, you know, again, another game without Larkin, but that's no excuse to not play your game. I mean, he is one player out of four lines that you have, and they end up coming through. You know, they win a 4-3 game. Patrick Kane, who's been struggling a little bit, got a really nice goal in the overtime period, and they end up getting the win. And, you know, hopefully what we would think is getting them on the right track. So, you know, they end up squeaking that one out, and, you know, it was ugly. It was just an ugly game. The penalty kill sucked. The power play sucked. The players were kind of just loafing around. They got a couple of lucky bounces. And it wasn't a good game for Detroit. So, you know, I'm still worried. I'm still worried because we're on the outside looking in right now as we speak, and we're just constantly relying on other teams to lose for us to get in. And I'm sorry, but, like, yeah, it would be nice to say we make the playoffs, but I want to make the playoffs because we make the playoffs, not because other teams don't make the playoffs.
I don't think anyone wants to go the Islanders Islanders and, well, Washington won a couple, but they seem like they get a chance to move into the playoffs, and they lose too. So that's the only good thing for them, for the Wings.
Yeah, and the nice thing is we bring it home to Detroit, or we back-to-back it with Detroit, not back-to-back games, but back-to-back home games for us. So the Isles come back to Detroit, and this was a huge testament for Detroit. This was a it was literally at the time a must-win game because the Red Wings needed to come out and win. I mean, the Islanders are right there. Washington, you know, New York are right there trying to keep Detroit out of the playoffs. So this is a huge game for both teams. First game back for Dylan Larkin. And the Red Wings played well. Andrew Kopp, I'm going to give it to him. I've been ragging on him all year. It was like his first goal in, I think, 27 games. And he's just been in a huge slump. And he ended up getting two nice goals. You know, it was a 20-game slouch that he had without a goal. And he ends up getting two in this game, which was huge. The other big factor is Dylan Larkin came back, and he scored two. So the Red Wings obviously show that they need Dylan Larkin, which is great. He's our captain. Obviously, you want to have your captain on the ice. But it's a little scary that they don't have that gut check when he's not there. But overall, it was a good game. You know, Detroit battled well. They played well. They were winning the puck battles. They weren't letting the Islanders get comfortable. Detroit, you know, is dominating the zone. Like, this was the style of hockey that they were playing, you know, 6 weeks ago before this whole debacle ever started in the last few weeks here. So Detroit came out. They played really well. I mean, they just played a good overall game. And, you know, what was really nice was they brought up Simon Edvinson to get a little time back on the defensive side. And I like the kid. He still makes some rookie mistakes, you know, turning the puck over, not being hard on the puck down the boards. I mean, we talk about the difference between the AHL and the NHL, and he's got to just make that adjustment. You know, I can't fault him too much, but he's translating well. I think he's going to fit very nicely into this team, and I'm really hoping that Yzerman will just ride him out. I understand there's contract implications, but I think this is a player that's shown he can come up and play. I think he's going to have a lot of promise here in the future of Detroit, and we need him on the defense. I mean, that's where we're really struggling, and he's got a huge reach. He's 6'6", 210 pounds. You know, he's pretty athletic for his size. He's strong, but you know, we got to keep this momentum going. And this was a good win. This was a huge win for, you know, for the Red Wings in this game. You know, like I said, Larkin came back on his feet. He came back early just for this game. And he really came and he helped the boys get the win. We'll take it. 6-3. Next game in Nashville. We'll talk about that after. D-Law, take it away.
So the Preds, they're still at home. They finished their I guess you could technically it was a homestand because they had to go to one on the road for one game. But so the Sharks come in. I don't know if anyone's aware. Remember Sebastian Bourdelle, who was a former Predator expansion era back in the 98-99. I believe he was actually in the came to Nashville in the expansion draft. But his son plays for the Sharks. I forgot his first name. But he so in the warm ups today, Sebastian Bourdelle, he works for the Preds now, and not sure what aspect. He was down on the bench, and he got a picture with his son. I thought that was right near the bench. His son was on the ice, and Sebastian was on the bench. It was a neat little moment. I don't know if it's the first time he saw him play in an NHL game or not. And as well, Mikael Granlund, not sure why, because he's been away for a year or two now. But they had a tribute for him on the video board. They call it Fang Vision, the video board. He was in the Eastern Conference, so I don't think he came to Nashville last year. Or was after, must have been got traded, or saw something, but for some reason they didn't give the tribute to now. But, you know, they had a kind of a slow start, and it took them 6 minutes to get their first shot, till Josi decided he's been red hot. They're talking about, well, within the Preds organization, I don't think I hear anything from the NHL, of course, because he's a Nashville Predator. But he's should be talking for the Norris, I think it is. But then this goal, it was such a quick shot. The Sharks goalie didn't even realize it went by him. He looked shocked until he looked behind him and was in the net. They were fortunate, you know, to get that 1-0 lead, but they were, you know, they were just playing sloppy, and they fell behind 2-1, but then they found their game in the second period and just totally dominated the Sharks. The Sharks only had 3 shots in the third period, and then that's when the Preds blew it open. They ended up winning this one 8-2. And they were just relentless. And
I gotta say, you were upset the whole game. Like you were getting upset, and I was like, Dila, they're winning like 6-1.
Not at the time. They were just not playing good until the second period when they took over.
Yeah, but as soon as they turn it on, Evangelista has a nasty backhand from the faceoff dot, the right faceoff dot, top shelf. And I was like, what is this guy complaining about? The Predators are playing great hockey right now. They haven't lost a game in 16 regulation periods.
So that was the
16 regulation games.
So that's when the 8-2 win that tied them the longest point streak in franchise history with 15. And during that time, during that point streak, they only trailed for 16 minutes, and the next closest was Colorado with 140 minutes. So that set up a huge game at Florida. I was kind of really worried about this. Lankinen gets the start, which I'm not really surprised now, because Lankinen has been playing whenever he starts. He seems like he starts against the top teams like Dallas and Colorado and you know, now Florida. They carried the play. Which is, you know, Bobrovsky was just Bobrovsky. And I was beginning to wonder if they were going to score. And Nyquist, finally, he jammed home. There was a loose puck right in the crease, found the loose puck and slid it under his five hole. So nice effort by Nyquist. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, relentless, that's their catchphrase, I guess, right now. I guess if you're feeling kind of catchphrase, they all got hats with relentless. It started before the break, before the streak. And Smith for the Predators and Gradrovich for the Panthers, they ended up dropping the gloves right after that goal. I think the Florida was trying to spark something. I think you're getting scored on. But it was fairly even, but Smith got a little few more in. And then, of course, Tkachuk. You know, they gave Yossi a penalty on Tkachuk, even though I don't think Tkachuk is a diver, so I don't know if I guess it was probably worth it. Probably was. I don't know. He actually started going down before Yossi even got the stick on him. So, but they ended up killing it off, and then Forsberg ended up with a power play goal. Nice little deflection tip in, so he's getting hot. And then Rodriguez, and I don't know. I'm not sure who he is, but he's kind of dirty because the game the Panthers were playing against Flyers earlier, he was kind of dirty in that one too. Well, maybe that's just the Flyers, but and against the Predators, he had a little cheap shot on Carrier, and then but Sissons came right over and just flattened him. I mean, he. He just absolutely—he didn't like that. He you know, that. So that was nice to see, you know, sticking up for his teammate. And then again, Rodriguez—he kind of flopped on another hit later in the game. And on Lakewest, he just shoots the puck, and that's nice. And that one, I I thought it was going to be a Nyquist goal, but apparently Forsberg tipped it in. So he got another one. Preds ended up winning this one 3-0. So it was a nice little shutout for Lankinen, and that extended their streak to 16 games, which is, at the time, the longest in franchise history. And that moves us into, they went back home to play Detroit, and I was kind of worried about this, especially.
See, I wasn't, because Nashville's like the hottest team in the NHL. Well,
also, you know, as I'm watching it, and they didn't look all that good to start.
No, and they great. I think both teams came out
I thought maybe it was going to be a letdown from the Florida game.
Can I just let you know that they were out shooting Detroit by a large margin the entire game? So I'm not quite sure what I'm nervous about.
Well, they were in their defensive zone pretty much, I'd say, three quarters of the game. They hardly had any offensive pressure. It seemed like they were always in the defensive zone. The Preds played a great defensive game. They were relentless. They were doing everything, you know, as far as, you know, blocking, deflecting, tying up sticks, just doing all the little things that they need to do defensively. So it was just a great game. But the Preds, their shots, they didn't really have a lot. Didn't seem like they have a lot of shots. They led the shots on goal by, like, what was it,
10? They had 10 more shots on goal. They outshot Detroit the entire game.
But I don't – I don't know how they keep
two extra out in the second period. The third period, they outshot Detroit 12-5.
It just seemed like Detroit carried the play, and Detroit was. It just seemed like Detroit had.
I was not disappointed with the game at all. I mean, Detroit's playing the hottest team in the NHL. They hung with them. I'm okay with that.
What I'm trying to say is that the Preds didn't have any extended time, like with Florida, they were in the offensive zone for like 3-4 minutes at a time, and with Detroit it was like maybe a minute or less, and then it'd be in the defensive zone for a couple minutes, and then the Preds would get it back in their offensive zone for maybe a minute, and then it would go back in the defensive zone for about 3-4 minutes, and of course Lyon was easily the best player of the game could have been 4-5-0. Saros made some good saves, but Lyon was, I mean, it. If it wasn't for Lyon, could have been 5-0.
You outshot us the entire game because the pressure was so much more fierce in the Detroit end. Like the Predators had their foot on the gas the whole time,
and it seemed
they
like
didn't get much offensive zone. Like they didn't. I mean, look at the shots on goal. I mean, the third period, the Predators.
A lot of times you can't go by shots. They do keep track of shot attempts. I don't know what the exact shot attempts were.
All I know is that in the third period, Detroit was outshot 12-5 in the third period. And you're trying to tell me that the zone play was in favor of Detroit being outshot? I thought overall it was a great game. I thought it was a fun game. Mort Sider got his first fight of the year.
George Kittle was in the house. He's really good friends with Forsberg, so it was nice to see him there. Second or third period, Chris Mason called Larkin a superstar.
A superstar. He is Detroit's primary player, in all honesty.
Because he kept saying
Edmonton,
he's...
You put him in Edmonton. You put him out in... Toronto. I mean, you put him in some of these teams, he's a second line center. I'm not saying he's bad. He's definitely not bad. He's obviously the spark and heart and soul of this Red Wings team. But, you know, I appreciate that you're calling him a superstar. But
well, that's what Chris Mason, he's a former goaltender.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
That's what he said. And I remember, I think I called a few earlier this season, you were talking about him.
Larkin get elbowed in the face and it was missed? I like the atmosphere of Bridgestone. I think it's electric. It's absolutely electric. They chant. I mean, it's and this is not a shot at them, but it's like a college arena. You know, they've got something to say after literally everything that happens. I mean, it's great. It's great for the Predators, their arena, their fans. It's just annoying when you're playing against it. The one thing that really The one thing that really disappointed me, though, is when Robbie Fabry was taken out. Because I don't mind the Preds. So Robbie Fabry's coming in. It's Fabry versus Yossi. Fabry comes in. He makes a move to the outside. Yossi drops down to a knee to block the shot. Totally legit. Not an issue at all. But he ends up tripping Fabry. Inadvertent. I have zero problems with that at all. Because it was a bang-bang play. Yossi even came over to apologize. And it was a quick play.
He got a penalty for it.
Yeah, he did. It was a tripping penalty. He deserved a penalty.
He went down to block a shot, and the guy tries to jump over him so he would avoid.
No, he tried to go around him, and he got caught on his leg that he put down on the ice, and he flipped up in the air and came down on his knee.
It looked like he was trying to jump over him.
It's 100% a penalty.
When it was live, I was like, it looks bad. But
if he dropped down to hip check him, I'm okay with that. But your knee's on the ice. You jump and trip.
They showed the replay, he jumped. It looked like he was trying to jump over him.
Okay, maybe
he was trying to sidestep.
Or whether he jumped or skated through it, he's going over Yossi's leg. And like I said, classy. Yossi comes over, tries to apologize. Everything's good. And then as soon as Fabry gets up, the fans start booing.
They were booing the call. Half the stadium was red. Half the stadium was Detroit fans. They gave away T-shirts because it was military suit night. So there's a lot of yellow. They had the yellow shirts on the seats. And there's a lot of empty seats, like even the first 3 minutes of the game. And I was like, where the hell is everybody? Now they were saying a lot of people still trying to get in because it's, you know, there's a lot of, it's a sellout. And
I think the highlight of this game for Detroit was the Mo Sider and Forsberg fight. I think for Detroit fans, we've been wanting Sider to try dropping the gloves. And by golly, was I happy. Forsberg drops the gloves, throws like three punches, but Sider has one fight under his belt. Forsberg has three. Neither one of them are fighters. I'll give you that.
Neither one's fighters. He doesn't fight. Forsberg's last fight was 2020 against Braden Schenn.
You know when Moritz Seider's last and only fight was? Last game. He's never fought once in his career.
I know.
Any level ever.
But he's not a fighter. And I don't know why Forsberg fought, because he's not a fighter. He's a scorer.
We agree with that. I don't understand why he wanted to fight either. But Seider had no choice but to fight.
You pick your spots.
Yeah, and that was a spot. I mean, why did Forsberg pick it? Where I'm going with this is you got to give the kid credit. He handled himself very well.
You know, Forsberg ended up scoring the goal. Nice, pretty. It was like 5 minutes left in the game. During the 17-game point streak, the Preds only trailed 6 minutes during the time, and this was the first time since December 2017 that the Preds had back-to-back shutouts with two different goalies. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, during this, you know, the streak, I was under the impression that the turning point of the season was Dallas, the debacle in Nashville at home against Dallas, when they didn't even show up. And that's when they started the winning streak or the point streak. That wasn't, that could have been a turning point, but they were, you know, as we all know, that the next game they went to St. Louis. They were supposed to go to Vegas for a little vacation, have a couple days off, and they were supposed to go to a U2 concert, and it was scheduled somewhere in Vegas, and Bruno and Trotz canceled the vacation, so they went back to Nashville, and then they flew back out to Vegas just for that. So I just thought that was an interesting little story, and that's what they're calling the turning point when they started the winning streak. I don't have any Predators news.
Yeah, nothing.
So the GMs had a meeting in Florida. They discussed video review and potentially adding the puck over glass as a new challenge. And also, this wasn't brought up, but should there be a time limit on reviews?
Yeah, I've been saying that a long time. There should definitely be a time limit, because then it's not conclusive.
You can move into some suspensions. Looks like Kulikov, he got suspended 2 games, and the interesting part about that is the 2 games that he was out, Florida lost both of them. So I guess he's a huge part of their team. And also, Wilson was suspended 6 games. Eye sticking. I'm not sure. Probably because it happened against, looks like it happened against Toronto. Probably why he got 6 games, because it was happening against their beloved Leafs. I forgot to mention this last week, Predators and Seattle game. Grubauer did not get a penalty, and he did not get a suspension. He wasn't even doing anything. He was skating. He wasn't even skating in the crease. He skated on top, above the top of the crease. Just skating by. I don't know. Maybe he said something. I don't know. But he didn't do anything. And all of a sudden, Grubauer just hauls off. And this is just after the Predators scored. He just hauled off and cross-checked him right in the head. And I don't know why he didn't get suspended or penalty. But I guess that's – I just wanted to bring that up because I should have mentioned that a couple weeks ago, but I didn't. So that's – I think that's all of the suspensions and fines that I have.
Yeah, I think that was all that was listed that I saw.
The last couple weeks there was pretty heavy fines, and now this week there is none. Fred Wings 10.
I'll roll through mine quick. Pretty easy. Boston's dropped way down in my list. I'm going Vancouver, Florida, the Rangers, Colorado, Carolina, Dallas, Boston, Winnipeg, Toronto, Edmonton, and I'll give Nashville, obviously. Actually, I'll bump Nashville up over Edmonton. They're playing hot.
Okay, so I got Colorado moving to number one. They're on a 9-game winning streak. They came back. I know it's only Pittsburgh. They had a 4-0 lead, or Pittsburgh had a 4-0 lead, and Colorado came back. They had to do an overtime, but 9-game winning streak. Then I got Vancouver moving up to 2. They've been playing pretty good lately. The Rangers dropping to 3 just because of those two hot teams. You got Dallas moving up a little bit to 4. Boston sliding. They lost a couple games. So they're 5th. And then I got the Preds moving up to 6. And then Carolina, Florida, and I got the Kings moving back in. They've been winning some key games. And then I got Toronto riding at the top 10 because they've been kind of quietly in there. They're not gonna challenge for the top 2, but they're comfortably in their 3rd spot. And the 3rd in the division. And of course, Winnipeg and Tampa Bay dropping out. And I just want to mention again, St. Louis and Washington. Yeah, St. Louis, they're winning the games that they need to win, and they're really putting the heat on Vegas. I don't know if they can catch them. They might be a little bit too far. You know, Winnipeg's lost a couple huge games back to back, and that kind of opens up the door. It's going to be close. The Predators are only 5 points behind Winnipeg, so they could actually, if they keep their winning streak, point streak going, Winnipeg could end up in the wild card spot. Washington, you know, they're sitting in the number 2 spot, but I mean, it's going to come down to the last day who's going to get that last wild card in the East. So it's not over by any means. They just got to keep winning those huge games. And that leads us into AHL updates.
Yeah, I don't have much for the Griffins because they are, you know, they're still in it at the moment. And their top players are up in Detroit right now. So just kind of interesting to see what they do. I'm not quite sure if they're going to be able to carry the momentum missing, you know, some of their top players, but we'll see what they can muster up here at the end of the season.
Well, they should be clinching a playoff spot. They're 73 points, so they should be able to clinch a playoff spot unless there's a miracle. But as far as the Admirals, they end up winning. Well, they dropped both games to Colorado. See, they won the last 2 against Henderson, which I believe is Vegas's farm team, and they did. So they did. The Admirals did clinch a playoff spot in that one. with 81 points. Oh, that's what's going on down in Milwaukee. And I guess we can roll into the weekly picks. Starting on the Detroit side, wow, it's a perfect 3-0. Columbus, Islanders, and Nashville got right. And Ron got the Columbus Islanders wrong and the Island and the Nashville right. I'm surprised you picked a loss on that one. And then on the Pred side, we both got the San Jose right, both got Florida wrong, and we both got Detroit right. Detroit has, it looks like you have three games for next for this week.
Yeah, Washington, I'm going with a loss. Carolina, a loss. And Florida, a loss.
Oh, they should win one of those games. I think they're going to beat Washington. I think they'll lose to Carolina. And I'm going to put a loss to Florida, but I wouldn't be surprised if they beat them. It's in Florida, though. Preds, we got a big game against Vegas coming on. I think they're going to win that game. Vegas has been kind of struggling. I think they're going to beat Arizona. Then they got to go to a little road trip, Arizona and Colorado. I think they're going to beat Arizona, even though Arizona's been kind of funny lately with the Predators. But they're going to lose to Colorado. Colorado, I mean, it would be nice. They're on that 9-game win streak right now. They're probably going to end up at least 10 or 11 by the time we play them. It would be nice to see them win, but I'm gonna have to call that a loss.
I think the way that they played against Detroit, I think they'll all be a toss up, but I just think they're gonna hit a little bit of a slow patch. I mean, they haven't lost in regulation in 17, 18 games now, so I think they're due for a little bit of a losing streak. So I think they'll lose to Vegas, beat Arizona, and lose to Colorado.
That wraps up another show.
Also, we got to give Sam Reinhart. He scored 50 goals this season. Scored his 50th tonight. He's now tied for second with most goals in the league. So, great season to Sam Reinhart.
Oh, my fantasy team thanks him. About the only one who's doing anything. Our social media, Pred Wings Podcast, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X, or Twitter, if you want to still call it Twitter, and YouTube, we're at Pred Wings Pod. Our email is predwingspodcast@gmail.com. So once again, thanks for tuning in to the Pred Wings Podcast.
Good night, Hockey Town.
See ya, Smashville.